Last year, the home computer market broke all sales records, and this year, sales of 5 million were predicted. Despite the increase in popularity, trouble is brewing in the consumer markets. Hasty to own their own equipment, many people, from housewives to business executives, have been buying home computers at the rate of $275,000 a month, many without knowing the difference between a disk drive and a byte. Customers are now beginning to complain that without expensive components, many of the low-priced machines are little more than video game players with built-in keyboards. As manufacturers slash prices, more and more consumers are scooping up what they consider to be better deals. But in this rapidly changing market, what do you have to know before you purchase your own home computer? Welcome to Frankly Speaking. I'm Michelle Lassane Montgomery at George Mason University, the state university in Northern Virginia. To give us a few hints on purchasing computers and word processors, we have with us today Fred Siff, Chairman of Decision Sciences at George Mason, and Lois Graff, Professor in the Management Science Department at George Washington University, and author of a new book on using your Apple computer. Welcome to Frankly Speaking, Lois and Fred. Fred, as a consumer yourself, as well as someone knowledgeable about computers, what has happened to consumers who purchase a computer without the proper research?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that your introduction was right on target. I think it's a very confusing field for consumers rushing to get into it. And I have recently entered the microcomputer market myself and found it very confusing, which is a little frightening. My academic training and my teaching has always been in computer information systems, but always dealing with mainframe, large computers. And I wanted to get a microcomputer, primarily for educational purposes, which is, as we'll talk about later, I think, one of the reasons that consumers might want to get a home computer. And even with all of my knowledge, I found the field extremely confusing, very difficult to get into, and a program like this is well taken. I'm not sure that we can give consumers all the appropriate answers. It's the equivalent of a child putting together an electric train set. There are a lot of different components. They're mix and match, and an awful lot of thought and care has to go into putting it all together.
Now, you mentioned the word microcomputer. For a point of clarification, what's your definition of a microcomputer?
Well, I use the word mainframe as being a very large, multi-purpose, multi-user computer.
Institutions would use, pretty much.
As institutions and large organizations, businesses. A microcomputer is one that is primarily designed for one user on a much smaller scale.
I'm not sure that you can actually get a definition because the computers have been becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. So the micro really refers to the miniaturization of all the component parts that's been occurring. But today microcomputers are coming out that are going to be multi-user. So the term microcomputer is used, but I'm not sure it's an important term. If you say microcomputer or you say personal computer or it's home computer, you're saying the same thing.
What are different examples of personal needs a consumer might have that a computer or a good computer program could satisfy?
I think that there's an educational purpose that can be served. We're entering an information age, a computer-rich age. And for educational purposes, for education of children and of adults so they can be computer literate, is a very important objective in buying a home computer. I think entertainment is another objective, and I'd lump those two in the first category, education, entertainment. The second, and a more sophisticated category, is word processing. A third category would be individuals doing their own programming, buying sophisticated software packages to serve a variety of purposes, all the way from keeping files at home, tax records, things of that nature. And I think we can frame much of our discussion on those categories because the kinds of things that you're going to purchase really depend on where you are in the level of usage.
Yeah, I think that you have to make a distinction between whether you're buying the personal computer for home use or whether you're buying it for business use. and let's assume that we're talking about home use. It's very difficult to, if you're considering buying a computer, to know how to use that computer until you actually get it into your home. And what has been found is that about 80% of the personal computers are used in business eventually. But an interesting research finding that really is sort of recent is that they're not originally purchased for business reasons. They're purchased for curiosity, for the children's education, or to play games. But then you quickly find that when you buy the initial basic unit, you have more needs that cause you to go out and buy more equipment or more programs. The cost begins to escalate, and you begin to look for ways that you can write some of this off as business expenses. So in many cases, the use of a computer in the home has actually led to some business on the side. I do think that it's becoming increasingly important to make a distinction between the entertainment and the education. I think that right now, it's probably true that there is not very much in the way of software, and by software I mean the programs that you can purchase, the things that actually make the equipment do something. So you have the equipment, which is hardware, and the programs, which are software. I do think that a very important use that people can make of the computer in the home is to keep tax records and to fill out tax forms. There are a lot of programs available to help people do that, some which are specifically oriented to taxes and specifically oriented to certain kinds of tax forms, so that you enter your data and you get the report out exactly in the same form that you need it for your tax records.
This brings up an interesting point, and that is that many of the things that a person will do with a home computer can be done just as well and sometimes more easily with paper and pencil. I mean, mm-hmm, some of the, mm-hmm. I mean, tax...
I don't believe a tax falls in that category.
No, but once you get off tax, and you hear about things about keeping recipes, keeping track of entertainment visits, so on, many of these things can be done a lot more easily by paper and pencil, so that when one gets into a cost-benefit analysis of the usefulness of the home computer,
It's
a very
really
intriguing question. Well,
mm-hmm.
It's not worth it, I think, if you pay a great deal of money and you are not very knowledgeable about computers to begin with. It may very well be that after spending many, many hours and a lot of frustration, and perhaps one of the best things is to take a course at community college or something on introduction to your personal computer, you may then become knowledgeable enough to make reasonable use of it. That's why I think the changing dimensions of the market are very intriguing. You have some sophisticated personal computers, home computers, microcomputers, such as the Apple and the IBM personal computer at the high end of the field. You have some computers at the middle, which are TI and things, which are having difficulty. And then you have some computers at the low end of the field, such as the Sinclair, which is now being sold for, the Timex Sinclair, which is now being sold for $49. And I guess we shouldn't push products, but to use that as a generic kind of product, at that end of the spectrum, it's a pretty reasonable deal. You're not spending a lot of money. And you can then try it out to see if you really have either the interest or the ability to do more. Mm-hmm. And then the Commodore series, which are fairly inexpensive, and then this frightening new Spectrum series for the computer field, which is the Coleco, which is going to be a packaged unit that apparently will try to do everything. And that then has to be factored in.
Yeah, I do agree that if you look at home uses, things like putting recipes on the computer, is really questionable. I personally do have some of my recipes on the computer, but they're recipes that are only the very special ones, because I find that when I need them, I have to go paging through books and paging through index cards. So I do use it for that, frankly, but I don't think that's a justification for purchasing
one. It's one of the world's most expensive recipe files.
It certainly is.
If you look at it that way.
But I do think that there is another benefit that has to be factored in that's very difficult to cost, to put a dollar figure on it, and that's your own personal education. It is becoming more and more true that computers are being used in every facet of business and even everyday use. You can hardly function during the day without coming, at least indirectly, in connection with a computer. And for your own education, for your own ability to say, I am a literate person, I really feel very strongly that it's important to get your hands on a microcomputer. And perhaps the Timex Sinclair or something at that low end is a reasonable way to start. But I do think it's important.
One point that I want to make, and we would be doing the listeners a disservice if we didn't mention the distinction between buying the hardware and then having to spend an awful lot of money on the software to run it. And this is something that happens in almost every field. You buy the basic unit, and then you have to spend a great deal of money to use it and to buy programs. And if you don't do programming yourself, for instance, a program to do your tax records may end up costing, what, $80 to $200 if you don't do it yourself. So if you buy a $150 machine or whatever that number is and then begin to pile on the software, it can become a very expensive kind of habit.
Now, the software is the program. What's the hardware?
The hardware is the machinery, basically, the circuit boards that run the computer.
It's the thing you mean when you say computer.
Is it wise to buy a system now when, within a year, that system may be obsolete?
My systems are already obsolete, and I purchased my last computer about 4 months ago. I don't think that that's really that valid a criterion to use, because this whole area is changing so rapidly that it's almost impossible to predict at what point you'll be able to buy a microcomputer and have a guarantee that it won't be obsolete in a year.
Well, but obsolete's the wrong word.
That's
it still
correct.
Can be used, and it still can be used effectively.
Absolutely.
It's just kind of its value has been diminished. It's almost like buying a new car, and you know 2 years from now they're going to come out with cars that are going to be aerodynamically better and have lower gas mileage. But if you need a car now and you do some reasonable comparison shopping, you don't feel that badly.
One last question, Lois and Fred. With all the different manufacturers that are on the market, how does one begin their research, and what's a good book you can recommend?
Well, I think that if you are seriously considering the purchase of a computer, you should, first of all, give some thought to what kinds of functions you want to put that computer to. And then I think the visits to your local retail stores, actually to look at the equipment. They generally will have some demonstration programs that they can put on. They can point to various pieces of equipment and say, here is the keyboard, here is the monitor, that's the video display, here are the disk drives that you need to store these things. They'll let you sit down and use them to play games or to work with some of the programs. And I think your best bet is actually to go to the retail stores and get your hands on the equipment itself.
That's a difficult question to answer, and I wouldn't disagree with what Lois says, but I'm not sure that anyone would learn how to buy from a car salesman. And I think it might be appropriate to do some reading, and there are many, many books in the library that deal with understanding your ex-computer. There are many, many books that you can buy at Crown Books and other booksellers. And it's appropriate to do a little background work before you begin. Again, we're both educators, and I hate to use the fall back on the thing, it would take a course somewhere. But at high schools are offering evening courses in personal computing, community colleges are doing that. That's a good way of getting some broad overview of the field before you go in and learn from a salesman.
Well, I think the other thing is if you have friends who have personal computers, that's an excellent source. And the kind of computers that your friends have should be a very strong plus in terms of the kind of computer that you buy, because having someone who has already gone through the problems is a big, big, big plus.
Thank you, Lois and Fred.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My guests have been Lois Graff, professor in the Management Science Department at George Washington University, and Fred Siff, chairman of Decision Sciences at George Mason University. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. Production coordinator, Joan Ziemba. For more information about this program or our guests, call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Michelle Lassane Montgomery for George Mason University, the state university in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.